And so why is COVID-19 vaccination, and you know, I say this not in a provoking way, not at all, but that is what I call an unforgivable sin. So why? Well, I just told you that spike-specific antibodies that are acquired upon asymptomatic infection, they can exert some weak pressure on these innate antibodies. But vaccinal antibodies, for God's sake, I mean, vaccinal antibodies, that is the purpose of vaccination, is to strongly prime your immune system so that these vaccinal antibodies recognize, so to say, the virus with a high affinity, and they strongly bind to the virus. For sure, they are going to exert a very strong suppression of your innate antibodies. Whereas the short-lived antibodies that you acquired upon previous asymptomatic infection exert a weak pressure. This pressure now from the vaccinal antibodies is going to be very, very high. And you could say, well, that is always the case when you vaccinate. Of course, this is always the case. And in general, it's not a problem at all. It could even be fantastic news, but it's, of course, not fantastic news if these vaccinal antibodies do not match the virus that is circulating, because these vaccinal antibodies resulted from a vaccination that used the vaccines that has the spike protein of the original Wuhan strain. And the antibodies that are induced by that vaccine do no longer match the circulating variant that we have right now, which is the Delta, for example. So we are dealing with another pandemic. We are now dealing with a pandemic of a highly infectious variant, and the antibodies that we are generating are still the antibodies that match the Wuhan strain. So if you have vaccinal antibodies that do not, that are very, very specific, but recognize a strain that is no longer relevant, that has basically disappeared, then it is completely useless, of course. And you could say, well, okay, then, yeah, I'm still having my innate antibodies. No, I guess what I'm saying is that no, because that is the price you pay. The price that you pay is that these antibodies will suppress your innate immune antibodies. So that is very problematic. So due to the high infection rates, because of the Delta variant, these vaccinal antibodies are now continuously boosted. So this is the other thing. You could say, well, I'm just going to wait till my antibodies wane and then my innate antibodies, my innate immunity will be completely restored and I'll be fine again. That is not the case. Why not? Well, the Delta variant is circulating all the time. You get re-exposed all over. But each time you get re-exposed to the virus, it's like you get a boost, like you get a boost shot. So these vaccinal antibodies are continuously boosted, and the relevant innate antibodies, so the innate antibodies that could protect you from SARS-CoV-2 and even from all other coronaviruses, are constantly suppressed. So that is very problematic. So because of this sustained suppression by the vaccinal antibodies, kids may no longer be naturally protected against a number of childhood infections that do not usually result in disease. So I was saying these innate antibodies that, for example, recognize SARS-CoV-2 are also the type of innate antibodies that will recognize, for example, influenza, that will recognize a number of other coronaviruses. And therefore, these viruses that I'm mentioning do never cause childhood diseases. They cause childhood infection, but who cares if the child doesn't get the disease? But now all of a sudden, this type of innate antibodies get suppressed by the vaccinal antibodies. For sure, you're going to see a number of childhood infections that are now turned into childhood diseases because of the suppression. So on top, the innate antibodies, and this is a very serious thing, what I'm saying right now, I cannot go into the immunological detail of this, but it is very well known and documented. And when I say documented, I mean publications, that innate antibodies are protective of self. So that means that these innate antibodies also have a role to prevent autoimmunity, in a sense that they prevent self components from being recognized by the immune system. When self components are recognized by the immune system, of course, that means that you have autoreactivity, that you have autoimmune disease. So innate antibodies can prevent that. But of course, if you suppress these innate antibodies, this protective function is no longer there. And therefore, I'm sure, and to some extent, it has already been documented that this is highly likely to raise the incidence of autoimmune diseases also in children, and particularly in older children. I would say as of the age of between 8 and 14, whereas in the lower age groups, the younger children, you will primarily see, if this mass vaccination continues in children, that you will have an increased incidence in a number of childhood diseases that are not normally childhood diseases, as I just mentioned. So vaccinating children against SARS-CoV-2 deprives them from their capacity to sterilize this virus, as well as a number of other viruses that do not usually cause harm to children. So in the meantime, of course, as I previously said, unvaccinated children, they may get mild or moderate disease, but the resulting training of their innate immune system or the acquisition of natural spike-specific antibodies, which happens in case they get the disease, will provide them with sustained, protective, innate, or acquired immunity. And that is not only very critical for their individual health, but these are also the cornerstones for herd immunity. This type of immunity, the innate immunity, and the acquired immunity as a result from natural disease, so much better than vaccinal antibodies, these are the types of immunity that will eliminate the virus, that will reduce transmission, and that will ultimately contribute to herd immunity. And we are simply destroying it by vaccinating our people. So vaccination does not improve your protection against severe disease or hospitalization. So that is something very important, because right now what you hear, at least in my country and in a number of European countries, is that officials say, well, wait a minute. Yeah, we know that vaccination does no longer protect against transmission, et cetera, and no longer against disease, but it still protects you against severe disease or hospitalization. So this is completely, completely wrong. There is an incredible confounder in this analysis. Why? Yeah, because of course they are just looking at people who get severe disease and get hospitalized. One has to know that, as I was just saying, innate immunity protects you very often against infection. So it protects you against mild disease and it protects you against moderate disease. All the unvaccinated people that do not land in the hospital, they are all protected, but they are not taken into account. Would any official dare to say, yeah, but wait a minute, I mean, these people have not been infected? This is impossible. I just said we have the Delta variant circulating. You can wear masks, you can, you know, keep distance, social distancing, etc. This virus is so infectious, it is almost impossible to avoid exposure. So many people still get exposed to this virus and either develop no symptoms whatsoever, or they maybe develop mild symptoms, or they develop maybe moderate disease. There are a few days in bed and so what? They are never getting to the hospital. So none of these unvaccinated individuals that are all protected against severe disease are counted. So that is an incredible underestimation of the protection that is provided to these people that are healthy thanks to their innate immunity. So the vast majority of the unvaccinated healthy individuals are protected against mild or moderate disease, and they are, of course, much, much less likely to contract severe disease. I mean, they are protected against severe disease. However, some healthy, unvaccinated individuals may develop moderate disease as a result of sustained anti-spike antibody titers. So remember, I'm always repeating myself, of course, it's still possible that even unvaccinated people have some moderate disease because they are still sitting on some short-lived antibodies. But as they recover, I'm repeating myself, they develop broadly functional, naturally acquired antibodies that protect them against a diversified spectrum of variants, and that is going to contribute to herd immunity. So given the small subset, if we look, who are now the people that are unvaccinated, get severe disease, need to be hospitalized? Well, if you compare this as a percentage of the total population that is unvaccinated and that inevitably gets exposed to the virus, this is a very small subset. And because this is a small subset, and because in many countries, I don't know exactly what the measures are right now in the Philippines, but in several European countries, at least, there is now a resumption of the precautionary measures because the officials know, wow, the virus is spreading, being vaccinated is not going to protect the spread. So they are again recommending people to wear masks, etc. So there is more precautions taken again. The subset of these hospitalized and vaccinated individuals is shrinking. And so what you will see is that fewer and fewer of these vulnerable unvaccinated people will land in the hospital. Whereas, of course, the opposite will apply to vaccinees. Why is this? Well, of course, because we see that there is increasing resistance of the virus to the neutralizing antibodies. I think everybody has heard also the recent news about, you know, South African resistant mutants, et cetera, et cetera. And because also we continue this mass vaccination. So the mass vaccination and the boosters are just going to enhance the resistance. So on the side of the vaccinees, we are just not doing the right thing. And the subset of the unvaccinated people that land in the hospital will diminish. So you will see that within a few weeks, and it is already the case in some countries, now the percentage, I'm not talking about absolute numbers, I'm talking about percentage, the ratios of the vaccinated people that need to be hospitalized will exceed the percentage, the ratio of the unvaccinated that need to be hospitalized. So you have to be very, very careful with this analysis. So vaccination, continuation of the previous slide. So the single best approach to protecting yourself and your children is to take excellent care of your health. I mean, I'm not going to dwell too long on this, but having a healthy lifestyle, healthy food, having exercise, this is all very, very important. And also what adds to this is mental health, but I will come to this. So mild disease, as I was saying, it equals lifelong protection. Why? Well, because it leads to training of your innate immunity, a training that has memory. And of course, this can only be preserved provided you don't get any of these COVID-19 vaccines, and you stay in good health. If nevertheless the virus breaks through your innate immunity, you shouldn't be worrying because you are beyond unlikely to contract severe disease, provided, as I was saying, that you were in good health. Once recovered, you should stay exposed to the virus. Why? Well, there is a lot of variants coming up and changing all over the time. So if the virus broke through your innate immunity, you can no longer count on a broad protection because your innate immunity was not sufficient to resist the virus. So now you have to rely on your antibodies that were naturally acquired. These naturally acquired antibodies have not the same breadth of protection as the innate antibodies do. So it's important that, in fact, you stay in contact. You don't isolate yourself. Because if you stay in contact, you will have regular updates of the circulating virus, which will then, of course, provide you with updated antibodies that have still sufficient, specificity to deal with new variants. If you don't do this, let's say as things are evolving very, very fast, and you would get the disease, you would then recover, you would build antibodies, etc., and you would isolate for half a year. I do not rule out, I cannot prove this, that when you come out after half a year later, that the variant that is circulating by then is no longer sufficiently recognized by the antibodies you acquired back 6 months ago. However, if you just, you know, continue to live a normal life in society, you will automatically get exposed to every single new variant that is circulating, and your acquired immune system will get a regular update. So unvaccinated people with underlying diseases, these people are, of course, at risk. They should still, I think, adhere to infection prevention measures. They should really be cautious with their contacts and avoid contacts with super spreaders. My heart goes out to vaccinated people, and I will do whatever I can to help these people together with colleagues, etc. But it is true, and this is not to discriminate against anybody, because many people got vaccinated without even knowing and thinking that this was the best thing that they could possibly do. But it is true that right now, somebody who got vaccinated, who got all these antibodies, is prone to promote the propagation of a highly infectious variant, because a highly infectious variant can only flourish on a background of a high immune response. That is how it got selected, right? And these people should definitely have access to early treatment. But again, they should not get the injection, because again, the vaccine is just going to further suppress their innate antibodies. And again, the antibodies elicited by the vaccine do not recognize the variants that are circulating, or sufficiently recognize the variants that are circulating right now.